In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the first and the greatest of the commandments. The second, the Lord says, is close to the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The question, of course, for clarification, not for understanding, because we know, but for clarification, is the full import of what it means to actually love. But before that, to properly situate that we live and exist to love God first and foremost. Even if God were to choose not to love us in return, or we had no experience or manifestation of God's love for us, we would still be required to love him precisely because he is worthy of our love, pure and simple. We do not love predicated on receiving something. We do not love expecting to be loved in return. That is not the nature of love on any level in any manifestation. Love is always freely given and ultimately freely received. And then love consists, as our Lord makes very clear, in the mystery of the cross. To say that I love the Lord commits me, commits you to a life of sacrifice and a life of service. To say that we love one another, truly love one another, commits us to that same life of sacrifice and service. We must be very cautious and careful and then wise when we speak these words and then seek to live them out. But the Lord, in his graciousness, knew exactly what he was doing when he teaches us that the fullness of the law is contained in this commandment of love. Everything about all that God the Father accomplishes, he does indeed accomplish in the mystery of his love for each of us. And as he himself makes clear, as he has done, so also we must do the same. If we truly understand of what love consists, the embracing of this cross, we understand then the difficulty that rests before us and that radical dependence that we must have upon God in order to achieve the end for which we were created and to love as we've been called to love. We cannot simply do this by ourselves, nor should we attempt to do this solely on a natural level. So the understanding of love does not begin with our human relationships. It begins with understanding God's love for us. They manifest first in creation, then in redemption, and now in the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. And then understanding how it is that we have been loved and the fullness of that love, we then turn to one another to say, I love you, to profess our love, to manifest our love. That is the proper order of things. And if we indeed properly order them as God has intended, life will be as he has intended it. And that exhortation that St. Paul gives to the Ephesians truly can come to pass. Exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, through humility and meekness, patience, bearing all with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, all of that bound and held together in love. We use the word love to describe a variety of different emotions, which oftentimes empties the reality of love of its meaning and its content. Because we don't fully grasp or we are unwilling to fully enter into that which is required of us to truly, actually love. This is what is wrong with the world among so many things that ail the world. This unwillingness, this inability to truly and authentically love. Not only those that we love or who love us in return, but also our enemies, those who are separated from us. To bear with them, as indeed our Lord says, with meekness and with patience, with forbearance and humility, binding all of this together in the Spirit and doing so out of love. But if we are going to do this writ large for the whole world, then it behooves us to do it here in our own community. At times, parishes, parochial realities can be very fractious and contentious. Find ourselves divided by things that simply do not matter, and yet somehow we grind or get ourselves all worked up about things that are small and inconsequential. We walk away, we speak ill of each other, we create factions that bring us not unity, but separation. And it is, at the heart, a failure to love. This is not an accusation hurled at one person or one group of persons. It is an exhortation for you and for me to remember that what holds and binds us together is our faith in Jesus Christ and the mystery of the love that He has bestowed upon us. And that when we confront problems, as we will as a family, with all families do, we indeed put up with one another with patience and forbearance, with humility and meekness and kindness. We have hearts of forgiveness, not because we like. This isn't about being best friends, but because we love. And the foundation of our love is in God, not my understanding of love, not my natural experience of love, but the reality of love that is made manifest on the cross. And then, brothers and sisters, it is in this way, and in truth only in this way, that this bond of unity to which we are called, this reality of unity that is made manifest through our reception of the Lord in the most holy Eucharist, can truly be realized. Remember, when you come forward to receive the living God, which you will do, those who are able to do so and prepare to do so in just a few moments, and how blessed we are today to have one who will receive our Eucharistic Lord for the very first time. You are pledging yourself to love as God has loved you and to love one another in like manner. If you're not able and or willing to enter into this, to strive with every fiber of your being to manifest this love, then you should not approach the altar of sacrifice. This is the condemnation that St. Paul makes reference to. If we are not adequately prepared when we receive our living God, we can eat unto our salvation. We can also consume unto our condemnation. Not because this is what God desires, but again, because we don't fully understand, are unwilling or unable to truly enter into that which God commands of us. And yet how counterintuitive. Because if we do not come forward, then the very one who can actually give us strength, who can animate us and give us the ability that we need to truly live this love, is the one that we receive at the altar of sacrifice. So prepare yourself. Commit yourself. Be resolved to live out this love to which you are called. First of God, with every fiber of your being, mind, heart, soul. And then to love one another as you yourselves are loved. And realize that in this relationship into which we are drawn, bound and held together by His profound love and mercy for us, that we become one in the mystery of our Lord, that we are able to walk and live a life of virtue, and in this way receive here on earth the manifold blessings that God desires for us as we work and cooperate with Him in this life to prepare our place in the life to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.